Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Johnson & Johnson is splitting up. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Johnson & Johnson says it will split itself into two companies, and no, they won't each be called Johnson. Only one will still be called Johnson & Johnson, and that company will focus on pharmaceuticals and medical devices. The other will be more focused on consumer products. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has the details.
Consumer products such as baby powder, Band-Aid, and Tylenol are steady sellers and have helped buffer Johnson & Johnson against the ups and downs of its pharmaceuticals business. The planned split will center the company squarely on that faster-growing business, which requires big expenditures to create new drugs and medical devices with the hopes of high returns. Its COVID vaccine brought in $500 million in the last quarter alone, and this year, the company's pharmaceutical and medical devices segments are expected to bring in about $77 billion in sales. Contrast that with its consumer division, which is expected to generate about $15 billion. Other drug company rivals have executed similar splits. Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline combined their consumer units into a joint venture 2 years ago. Johnson & Johnson says it'll complete the separation in 18 to 24 months, and when it's done, it will remain the world's largest healthcare company. No word yet on what the new consumer company will be called. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
J&J's shares are up about 1.4% in early trading. Earlier this week, we learned inflation in October was, to use an economic term, nuts. For months, since April, inflation measures had been mostly falling or flat, and then October had the highest annual inflation since 1990, 6.2%. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York and joins us as he does on Fridays to help us make sense of the week. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
What happened in October?
Partly it was gasoline prices, but the October inflation numbers wouldn't have been as bad as they were if not for widespread increases elsewhere.
Now, we got news today from Foxconn, the electronics manufacturer, which said that the chip shortage, the global chip shortage, would still be with us into the second half of 2022. This is the same chip shortage that's been responsible for some serious inflation drivers, too. So what are we supposed to do with that?
It's exactly the same thing the automakers are saying about chips. Don't expect them to be back to the levels they'd like them to be until early 23, perhaps. So that's where a lot of the core inflation is coming from. And what it tells you is that while inflation might be transitory, transitory is proving not just to be a few months longer than we first thought, but maybe a few years longer.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Sabri.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
One driver of inflation right now is rising energy prices, and the White House is trying to bring them down. One option, tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live to talk about this. Hey, Nancy, so first, what is this reserve, and how would tapping it help bring down prices?
Well, the Energy Department says it's the biggest supply of emergency crude oil in the world. The oil is kept in underground salt caverns at four sites along the coast of the Gulf of Mexico. The thinking is if you release some of the crude and increase the supply going to U.S. refineries, the price at the pump will fall. It's all about supply and demand.
Is this like an emergency only kind of a thing where it's released? And where does it go when it is released?
So there are also non-emergency sales, and oil from the reserve can be sold to raise money for the U.S. Treasury. It can be exported, Sabri. In fact, Bloomberg is reporting about 1.5 million barrels of crude from the reserve were exported last month.
Is not all this talk about tapping the reserve like slightly awkward, just considering the U.S. is trying to, you know, be a leader on fighting climate change?
Definitely. But last week at the climate conference in Glasgow, President Biden said the transition from fossil fuels won't be quick or easy. And in the meantime, the soaring prices at the pump are hurting U.S. consumers.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The conversation around tech companies these days involves allegations of anti-competitive practices, social media's negative effects on well-being, democracy, and public discourse. So what are the chances that Washington actually produces rules, regulations, laws? That is the topic this week for my colleagues at Marketplace Tech. Kimberly Adams in Washington has been leading the reporting, and she spoke about it with David Brancaccio.
All right. This proposed cauldron of regulation, it almost hurts your head. Sometimes it helps to break up a problem into, different channels, I guess?
Right. One of the experts we spoke to for this series breaks it up into three buckets. So when you talk about tech regulation, privacy issues, competition, and then content moderation. And each of these kind of needs its own solution and sets of rules and regulations. There's a lot of action happening already on the federal agency side of things. The FTC has its ongoing lawsuit with Facebook. And then over at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the new director, Rohit Chopra, has asked for online payment processors for more information on how they're operating and is pushing for changes on how consumer data is handled online. My conversation with him is in the podcast feed right now.
Facebook and others must be leery about a lot of this, but their approach is not, I mean, I've been following this too, is not against regulation. They want what they would see as the right kind of regulation.
They really do want new federal rules in some cases, especially in areas where there's a patchwork of state and local laws. For example, when it comes to data privacy, here's Dane Snowden, who runs the Internet Association, a trade group representing the tech industry.
We can't have 50 states trying to create their own privacy rules because that's not how the business works. That's going to cause a problem for consumers and for the businesses themselves.
And there's a lot of interest from both Republicans and Democrats to make movement on that. The other big message from the tech industry is they don't want anyone to mess with that infamous Section 230 people maybe have heard about that shields tech companies from liability for the decisions they make around content. Snowden says if lawmakers change it, that could upend the internet as we know it. Now, whether that's a good or a bad thing, who knows at this point?
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams working with the Marketplace Tech team on this series this week on tech regulation. Thank you so much, Kimberly.
No problem, David.
You can check out the tech team and Kimberly's reporting on the Marketplace Tech podcast. Our digital producer is Redmond Carolipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold, Jessen Dueler, and Jake Cherry. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.